Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
For we who have believed do enter that rest as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. We who have believed do enter that rest. And what does the word believe mean? You guys know? Trust in, rely on, and cling to. It doesn't mean I just believe that the Bible says that. It doesn't mean I believe that that's true. It doesn't mean that I believe that God's correct in stating these things. That's not what the word believe means. The word believe means to trust in, to rely on, and to cling to. And so if I'm somebody who is trusting on, in, relying on, and clinging to Jesus, I enter the rest. But if I'm trusting in me, and I'm relying on my strength, and I'm clinging to my great self-discipline, I am never going to enter into God's rest. See what I'm talking about? Okay, there's things that we need to be disciplined about, and he's going to talk about that in a minute. But when you're talking about the rest of God, it's something that is entered in by a complete and total dependence upon the Lord. And if you don't have a complete and total dependence on the Lord, you are going to lose. And you are going to lose every single time. And you're going to feel like a total and complete idiot. And so just to let you know what the struggle is, and again, I did that for 3 years. I got that pounded into my brain. And so I really do depend on the Lord. And I'm not saying that I do this stuff perfectly, because I'm just like anybody else. I can put things on cruise control and go, oh, I've been here before. I know how to handle this. And every time that happens, God lets me know that, yeah, you have been here before, but you're not the one that handled it, and you shouldn't be the one handling it now. And so I'm just going to step back right here, little Stevie, and we'll see what happens to you. And you see what I mean? And so there needs to be a total and complete dependence on the Lord. He goes, when he, and one of the things that happens in the book of Hebrews, and we've already kind of talked about this, is that Paul is speaking rabbinically, and he's teaching like a rabbi. You see this in other books that he's done, but it's big time in the book of Hebrews. And so he keeps referring back to these verses, and he's making a point, but a lot of times when we go through and read the passage itself, it's hard to see what the point is that he's making, because he just kind of throws verses out. Now the passage that he's quoting from all the way through this is over in chapter 3 and verses 7 through 11. Let's read it again. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So in this passage here, he's talking about not falling short in the fact that those who believe are those who enter that rest. So he says, verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And what he's talking about is the people who are disobedient, the people who aren't trusting in God, the people who aren't resting in him and don't have faith in him. They will not enter into this rest, but we who have believed will enter the rest. You get the point? That's what he's doing in that passage right there. He goes, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Now, in this section in Hebrews 4, there are four rests that are spoken about. And so when you go through and you look at the argument that he's going to make now, he's just brought up the first rest that he's going to be speaking about, and that's the Sabbath rest. So the first one has to do with God's rest on the seventh day in Genesis 2:2. You remember that in Genesis chapter 1, first day he creates the heavens and the earth, and then the second day you have the land rising up, and then the third day you have the vegetation, the fourth day you have the sun and the moon and the stars and so on. And then you go down through the whole list. By the time you get to the sixth day, it's mankind, and then when you get to Genesis chapter 2, it says that on the seventh day God rested. He looked at all the works that he'd done, and he saw that they were very good, and he rested on that day. That's where the Sabbath day comes from. And so the Sabbath day is the seventh day. What day would that be? That's Saturday, right? The Sabbath day is on a Saturday, and that's when God rested, right? And so that's the first rest that's spoken about. The second rest that's going to be spoken about, that's God's rest on the original seventh day. The second rest that's going to be talked about in this passage is the Sabbath day rest that the Jews did. So based on the fact that God worked 6 days, rested on the seventh day, God in Exodus chapter 20 says, I worked 6 days, I rested on the seventh day, you will work 6 days, and you will rest on the seventh day. Okay? And so that's the Sabbath day that we're familiar with. And so the Jews keep the Sabbath day. We're going to talk about us and the Sabbath also. But that's the second rest, the weekly Sabbath that's spoken about. In Hebrew, the word is Shabbat, and it literally, it's a word that means to cause, to cease, to put an end to rest, to desist. There's another word that comes from the same root, and it's Shabbat, and it means to sit still. So when you're looking at the word Sabbath out of the Old Testament, that's talking about ceasing from labor, but it's also got the intent of laying around. It's the idea of real rest. You're just gonna hang out and you're gonna lay around. And that's what the word Shabbat means and the word Shabbat means. There are commands concerning the Sabbath day. And when you look at the commands, they have to do with two things, labor and fire. Labor and fire for the Sabbath day. Turn with me over to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. You can see the original commandment to keep the Sabbath day in Exodus chapter 20. It's in the Ten Commandments. Like I said before, it's the fourth one. And it says in Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter. And so you can't rest and have your son and daughter go out and work for you. Nor your male servant. You don't get to have your male servant go out and work for you. Nor your female servant, nor your cattle. You don't get to have your cattle working for you. Nor your stranger who is within your gates. And so that's an unbeliever. You can't have the unbelievers working for you while you're resting. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay, so that's the commandment itself. Moses, in Exodus chapter 31, goes on and talks about, actually I said Moses, it's actually the Lord, talks about the Sabbath day and its connection to the people of Israel. So Exodus 31, starting in verse 12, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak also to the children of Israel. Okay, so anytime I go through this, I define terms. Who's Israel? What was Israel's original name? Jacob. You're right. And so Jacob got his name changed to Israel. And so who are the children of Israel? And they're all the descendants of Jacob, right? And so that includes Reuben and Naphtali and Gad and Levi and all the guys, Judah, all the guys, Benjamin, Manasseh, Ephraim, all those guys. Manasseh and Ephraim were grandchildren, but they were under Joseph and so on. All those guys, those are the children of Israel, and their children are also called the children of Israel. They are the descendants of Jacob. They are the descendants of Israel. Are you a descendant of Jacob? Not unless you're Jewish. If you're Jewish, you're a descendant of Jacob. But if you're not Jewish, you're not one of the children of Israel. In the New Testament, the church is never called the children of Israel. The church is never called Israel. There's always a distinction made between Israel and the church. And so when you look at this passage, this is being spoken to the children of Israel. So let me ask the question again. Are you the children of Israel? The answer is no, right? Saying, surely, verse 13, my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. The day after the commandment was given to keep the Sabbath day, some dude goes out picking up sticks on the Sabbath day and ends up being put to death because he disobeyed the commandment. And so, again, you have this. Work shall be done, verse 15, for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel, are you the children of Israel? Nope, you are not. The children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Now let me make one more point. When you're talking about the church isn't the children of Israel. So even if you're Jewish and you become a Christian, what happens is it's not that your Jewishness goes away. It's just been fulfilled in coming into this relationship with Christ. And the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, bond nor free. All those distinctions go away and we become the church, the bride of Christ, the assembly of God. And so you have, again, this situation where there's a difference. So verse 16, therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So who is the sign for? The children of Israel. Bible never teaches that the sign is for the church. Okay, so when you're talking about these kinds of issues, there are signs that are given to the church, and there are signs that are given to the children of Israel, okay? And so there's an entrance sign that's given to the children of Israel. If you wanted to become a Jew, if you wanted to convert from Gentile paganism into Judaism, one of the things that had to happen was that you had to be circumcised if you were a man. It was an entrance sign. Every child in Israel was circumcised on the eighth day. Every boy child was circumcised on the eighth day. It was an entrance sign into the covenant with God, the Mosaic covenant with God. That's the entrance sign. There was also a memorial sign. And the memorial sign was this right here. Every week, they were keeping the Sabbath day, and it was a memorial of the fact that they had this covenant with God. And so that's what that's about. So there is an entrance sign coming into Christianity. You guys know what it is? Some of you do, because you've been around here for a while. What's the entrance sign? What's one of the first things you need to do once you give your life to Jesus? Baptism. It's the entrance sign. And so we get baptized as a witness to the world that we're serious about our walk with God and the fact that we're going to follow him. So that's the entrance sign. We also have a memorial sign that we do. And it's a ceremony that we do routinely as Christians. What's the memorial? Yeah, it's communion, the Lord's Supper. And so both Israel and the church have entrance and memorial signs, and they're not mixed up. The church doesn't have Israel's entrance and memorial signs, and Israel doesn't have the church's entrance and memorial signs. These are signs that God gives for different covenants, and this is the Mosaic covenant here. It wasn't given to the church, okay? The other thing is you're not to light a fire on the Sabbath day, okay? And so this is out of Exodus 35:3, for example, you shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Exodus 35:3, no fire. And so what they were called to do was cook all their food before sundown on Friday, because the Sabbath day starts at sundown on the day before Saturday, because the Jews start their day at sundown. And you know where they get that from? Genesis chapter 1. Evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and the morning were the second day, and so on and so forth. And so Friday at sundown is when the Sabbath starts. Saturday at sundown is when the Sabbath ends, and you're on the first day of the week at that point from a Jewish perspective, okay? We do our calendar, our weekly calendar, from the Roman way that time was told, basically. Okay, so no labor and no fires. No labor and no fires. So when somebody is saying that they're keeping the Sabbath day, those are the two rules. No labor at all means you lay around, you don't do anything, and you don't light fires. So you're not allowed to start your stove on the Sabbath day. You don't get to boil coffee, you know, boil water for coffee or anything like that. You know, brew coffee. I'm thinking of camping now. You don't get to brew coffee because that's lighting a fire. You don't get to do anything on your stove. You don't get to have a barbecue. You don't get to do anything like that. And so all the food is supposed to be prepared the day before if you're going to keep the Sabbath day. So you rest and you don't light fires. Those are symbolic. And so the one symbol is about resting in Christ. And we'll talk about that a little more as we go on. The other one is about lighting your own fire. And so there are two things that aren't supposed to happen in my life as a Christian. I am not supposed to be somebody that involves myself with Christian pep rallies. There's this whole thing with psyching yourself up and working yourself into a religious frenzy that is lighting a fire. And my joy, my excitement, my emotional provoking is not supposed to come from somebody standing up front and whipping me into a frenzy. That is not where it comes from. It's supposed to come from the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a passage in Isaiah 50, verse 11. I'm going to read it to you out of the NLT. It says, "But watch out, you who live in your own light, and warm yourselves by your own fires. This is the reward you will receive from me. You will soon fall down in great torment." And it's the idea of lighting a fire. And it's something that the Jews would have understood is connected with the Sabbath day. We don't light fires. We rest, and the fire that any fire that's lit needs to be something that comes from the Lord. And so I used to play football. And so one of the things that would happen all the way through the time that I played football is before a game, you'd sit in the locker room and everybody would start pumping themselves up. You had loud rock music playing, it had a good beat, and usually it was Another One Bites the Dust or something. Dun, 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 Another One Bites the Dust. And everybody's in there going, rah, 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 you know, and you get all excited, you're pumping yourself up, and you go running out of the locker room. And when we would do that, there was kind of a tunnel that you went through, and the cheerleaders were standing there with a big old piece. I don't even know where they got this big old piece of paper. They had a big old piece of paper with all kinds of, you know, stuff on it, you know, fight, Novi, fight, and, you know, this kind of stuff. My school was called Novi for short. That kind of thing. And you go ripping through the paper and tear it apart, and you go over to the sideline, and everybody would gather around and jump up and down and pound each other's shoulder pads, and you know, bang your heads and that kind of stuff. And then you go out on the field, and you're all pumped up, and you do the first hit, and that's the start of the game. And so I know how to pump people up. I was a captain on the football team. At times, I was a captain on the football. We went through different guys. And so I was a captain on the football team. I know how to pump people up. And I refuse to do it here. I'm not going to do that with you, because any pumping up that comes needs to be something that comes from the fire, that comes from the Holy Spirit, not from me standing up here doing a pep rally, okay? And that's lighting your own fire. We don't light our own fires. We don't do this on our own. It needs to be something that God does. He goes on in the passage, back over in Hebrews chapter 4, he goes on in the passage, and he talks about the fact that The original Sabbath, obviously, is not the rest that God had for those people, because that was a rest that God took, right? Happened at the very creation of the world, first week of the creation of the world. It goes on and says, and again, in verse 3, he says, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." And the point he's making now is when he says, "Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world," and he's referring back to the creation. So the rest that they're entering into cannot be that one, because God is referring to Canaan as being the rest, not the one that God made in Genesis 2:2. Follow that? Then watch this. "For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And so he just flat out refers to that. And that is the first rest that's being spoken about. The second rest has to do with the Sabbath itself. It says, "Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience," again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time as it has been said." And so here's the point that he's making. Number one, the very first rest is not the rest that God's talking about in this passage for the people of Israel or for us. The second rest, the Sabbath day itself, that was the sign for the people of Israel, cannot be the rest that God had for these people, because they'd been doing it for 40 years before they ever got to Canaan. And Canaan was the rest that they didn't enter into, right? Okay, so if the rest that God's talking about that they didn't enter into is Canaan, going into the land of Canaan, then the Sabbath day that they had been practicing for 40 years cannot be the rest. And not only can that not be the rest, the Sabbath day that God made on the seventh day in Genesis 2:2 cannot be the rest. So the Sabbath is not the rest that God's talking about here, okay? He goes on and he says in verse 7, he goes on and he talks about, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, why is Joshua being spoken about here? And the reason is because Joshua led them into the land of Canaan. And if the land of Canaan was the rest that God was talking about, then he wouldn't be saying, if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of the other day. And so that's the third rest. The third rest is talking about the rest in Canaan. And so again, when you're talking about what happened in Canaan, is God brought those people in there to bless them and to do all kinds of things for them. In fact, I'm going to show you another passage. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So same book, Deuteronomy, and go to chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 10. We're going to go down to verse 19. And it says, "So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him."
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.